Hey everyone, I know it's been a little bit since our last episode. I've been pretty consumed with my day job and some family functions. Sports seasons are just getting over with for the summer, so hopefully we can provide you guys some content in the next coming weeks. I have David McRae's actually coming up over the 4th of July weekend. We're going to try to do some Facebook Live stuff on the Little Military History Podcast Facebook page. We'll probably do some podcasts while we're together. So today's episode, I just wanted to do it on Juneteenth because I didn't really know what that holiday was until I looked into it. And I think that it's a good holiday to celebrate and be federally recognized. And I just want everyone to know some of the history behind it. Before we dig into that, this one, I'll just be by myself today. David won't be on. But since our last episode, we had some losses in the network of the Little Military History Podcast. So first, a good friend of ours, Staff Sergeant Jamie Bueno, I called him Jaime, and his wife Christina ultimately, passed away a month or two ago. I won't really dig into it much other than, rest in peace, both of you. We love you. And, if anybody is ever experiencing mental health issues or anything, please reach out, call us, talk to us. We're here. And then, additionally, David's brother Kenny passed away a couple weeks ago. So, rest in peace, Kenny. And hopefully we see all you guys on the other side, whenever that may be. So, got that sad stuff out of the way. I did want to just, publicly mention it, though, because those are people that we loved, and we just want people to know that, we love them, and hopefully we'll see them again. So, like I said, coming up, McRae's coming up. We're going to have some fun stuff. We're going to check out some of the sites that we've talked about before. Probably Fort Clark, Fort Stanwix, Battle of Oriskany. We'll do some live stuff, have some fun with it. Next week, going to Boston. Might be able to do a couple podcasts while I'm there, maybe some Facebook Live stuff. Really want to go to Lexington Concord, take some pictures, share that stuff with you guys. USS Constitution, the ship that's in Boston Harbor, if that's there, I'll definitely do some stuff on that as well. But before we dig into the Juneteenth stuff, I'll knock out the advertising stuff that we gotta do. So, first, if you are a listener and want to become a supporter, whatever platform you're on, if you go under the bio of the podcast, there should be a link where you could click to become a supporter. Give monthly or one-time donations to the cause. Everything will get funneled back into this. We kind of want to do more stuff with like video side of it and some of the stuff when we go live. Or the places that we go to incorporate the videos into the actual podcast. So, please look at that. And then the message that we provide from Anchor. All right, now all that's over. Let's get into the good stuff. Back to Juneteenth. So, first, can't complain when there is a new. I can't complain when there is a new federal holiday because most of the time that means I don't have to go to work. So, I'm not going to complain on that front. Secondly, I couldn't figure out. Well, on social media, I saw that people were mad or upset that there was a new federal holiday, so I had to research it. After researching it, I'm still confused why any human would be upset that it was declared a federal holiday, and also confused why this wasn't made a federal holiday earlier on in our country. So, here's the long backstory, because obviously I like history and I like to find New Yorkers who were involved in it. So, drum roll, enter. General Gordon Granger, born November 6th, 1821, in Sodus, New York. Education, my man went to Military Academy at West Point, 1841 to 1845. Served from 1845 to 1876. So, first he served in the Mexican-American War as a junior officer, and then moving into the Civil War, he continued to serve and lead. A lot of the following that I'm going to mention, especially the quotes, come from a book by Robert C. Connor called General Gordon Granger, the Savior of Chickamauga and the man behind General Order 3. So, November 1861, Granger assumed command of the 2nd Michigan Cav Regiment, becoming a colonel for the Volunteers. So the 2nd Michigan was a militia, more or less, or like similar to the National Guard, right? So he became a leader of a group of volunteers who are not professional soldiers, but they were brought in under federal service for time of war. One of the Union veterans who served under Granger said his military genius soon asserted itself by many severe lessons to the volunteer officers and men of his regiment. He brought them up to full standard of regulars within a period of 3 months, and though a gruff-appearing man, had succeeded in winning the respect of his regiment by his strict attention to details and making a well-disciplined body of soldiers out of a mass of awkward men from every walk of life. Basically, he took a non-regular group, which a regular group would be federal troops, troops that are active duty all the time. So he took in this militia slash like National Guard regiment and had them, pretty much looking like they were professional soldiers within 3 months, which is, it's impressive for that time frame. Nowadays, it's a little quicker because we do have, a National Guard that is pretty ready whenever needed. So in February 1862, he assumed command over the 3rd Cav, which consisted of the 2nd and 3rd Michigan Cav units that he was already over. And after another group joined, this was organized into a division. So they took a bunch of these regiments and brigades, pushed them together, and made an entire division. So he fell under the Cav division as a brigade commander, right? So where he became famous in the wars, or well, really in the Civil War, was at Chickamauga, and he earned the command of the newly formed Four Corps. So, you have a brigade. Above the brigade, you go into the division. Above the divisions, you have a corps. So he was ultimately commanded a corps at one point for the Army of the Cumberland. Under his command, the Four Corps distinguished itself in the Third Battle of Chattanooga. So in Tennessee, there was multiple battles at Chattanooga, and in the third battle, this is where he kind of set himself apart from his peers. So two of the Four Corps divisions, right? So that was commanded. One of them was commanded by Thomas Wood, and the other, from my favorite general, was Philip Sheridan, and they were among the units that assaulted and reinforced the center of the Confederate line on the top of Missionary Ridge. So there, the Union forces ultimately broke through the Confederates under General Braxton Bragg, and then they retreated. So this was a big win for the Federal slash Union troops at this point in the war. I put a note in here. Anytime I get an opportunity to shit on Braxton Bragg, I take the opportunity to do so. I find it interesting that there's a base named after him in North Carolina. I know that, some of the Southern folks that listen on this that may have Confederate family roots and things like that, might get a little upset at that one, but I don't really see in history where Bragg was an overly great general to give him a name after anything, but nonetheless, he has a huge military installation still named after him. So, after Chattanooga, Granger took part in lifting the siege in Knoxville, Kentucky, or yeah, sorry, Knoxville, Tennessee, and despite his success as a leader, especially in the South, General Grant ultimately didn't really care much for him. It had something to do with his outspokenness and kind of his bluntness towards his leadership. I was surprised when I read that about Grant because I felt like Grant was a similar man in nature. But nonetheless, it kind of stopped him from taking over some of those bigger units. Like Grant's boy was Sheridan. Sheridan ultimately was, taking control of bigger and bigger units as the war went on. So, Granger's ability to, or lack of ability to have some tact when talking with his leadership, ultimately slowed him down from getting to where maybe he could have been in the war at that point. He was sent to the Department of the Gulf, and commanded a division that provided land support to the naval operations conducted in the Gulf of Mexico. And he led the group of land forces that ultimately captured Fort Gaines and Fort Morgan. And he fought in the Battle of Fort Blakely, which led ultimately to the fall of Mobile, Alabama. So in the South, they were running around. Grant's guys and his subordinate leadership were starting to take the reins and really starting to make a difference. Most famously, Granger is known for two things. One is his actions commanding the Reserve Corps at the Battle of Chickamauga on September 20th, 1863. Ultimately, without orders, he reinforced General Thomas's 14 Corps by ordering another commander to send two brigades under his command to go help Thomas. Granger ultimately said, "My men are fresh, and they are just the fellows for that work. They're raw troops, don't know any better but then the charge up there." And this action ultimately starved off the Confederates, permitting the Federals to kind of retreat, regroup, and then ultimately hold their position. Granger wrote after this battle in his in his journal and his reports, his kind of his action plans and stuff, being well convinced, judging from the sound of battle, that the enemy were pushing Thomas. And fearing that we would not be able to resist their combined attack, I determined to go to his assistance at once. Ultimately, that was a huge decision on his part. Won him support from his leadership and subordinates, minus the whole Grant issue, but that's here nor there. So, paint a picture for his second biggest thing he's known for, which, for most people, the biggest thing he's known for is the second that I'm listing, but on 9 April 1865 was the first day of General Lee's surrender to the Federal Army, which ultimately took 3 days. So the war is starting to end on April 9th. The war didn't necessarily end on that day, right? But that was when the surrender began. So after the war was ended, General Granger was given command of the District of Texas. So basically he was some of those that are familiar with like post-World War II reconstruction of Germany, sometimes you had officers that would be like maybe mayors or governors of these provinces to kind of bring them back up to speed and put the civilian government back in place. So on June 19th, 1865, in the city of Galveston, one of the first orders of business when he was given command of the District of Texas was to read to the people of Texas Granger's General Order Number 3, which began with, "The people are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them become that between employer and hired labor." So the Emancipation Proclamation, sorry, was done several years before this, right? A couple years before this. So in the North, obviously, that was kind of an immediate thing because the North fell under the federal government. In the South, as the Union military started to defeat these forces and take territory, that proclamation continued to expand. In 1865, at this point in June, Texas and parts of Texas still had slaves and weren't, I would say, liberated, right? They weren't yet liberated. So at this point in time, once the South had ultimately surrendered, General Granger was able to give that proclamation. So freed African Americans at the time observed Emancipation Day, as it was first known, as early as 1866, which would be the year after General Granger's Order Number 3 in Galveston. That particular community would celebrate, and they had parades and prayers, and they'd sing and they'd reread the proclamation, similar to our some people's 4th of July celebrations, where they might read the Declaration of Independence or whatever, however they celebrate. So, in the mid 20th century, community celebrations gave way to some more private commemorations, and it kind of started to die down a little bit. And then Juneteenth became a state holiday in 1979 in Texas. Now across the country, we have a federal holiday, but also across other parts of the world, they celebrate Juneteenth as well. And, ultimately it celebrates freedom and the triumph of the human spirit. That is not my line, but I like that line. So, Juneteenth, that's what it's for, right? It's to celebrate the proclamation, General Order Number 3, the freeing of the final slaves in the United States. So, for those that don't know what it means and are upset about it, I encourage you to do your own research. Because I can't fathom why anybody in this country would be mad that we would celebrate a holiday such as Juneteenth. So, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for hopefully a huge month of July with stuff that we'll be posting, especially with David coming up for a week or so. And check out our Facebook page, and I'll be sharing a lot of Facebook Live stuff and videos in the month of July. Thanks.